Somebody's there.
Yo, 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 yo.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
And there's Joel, too.
Uh-oh. Howdy, boys.
Let's just go for it here.
Video.
Killed the podcast star. Oh, something like that.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night Curious. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael, that virtual Uber guy. Tonight, the Jersey boys are still hanging out. There's more than just fudge in Copper Harbor now. And there's a French connection of the drain type in Antrim. All that and more on Late Night Curious! And now, digitally gathering to offend the world one person at a time. Oh, wait, another New Hampshire podcast already does that. Here's Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to the Late Night QRM show number 215 from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, the scenic Monadnock region. I'm Barry J.
And from the Crotchet Mountain region of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
He said Crotchet.
Yeah, he did. And from central New York, this is Barty.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor in Studio V again, it's Michael, the virtual Uber.
All right, everybody.
Hey. Thank you.
And it's been a... Well, we always talk about weather first. Oh, well, you know what? Let's wait. Let's find out. I'm the only one to put anything up in Podcasters Anonymous, but here we go.
Uh-uh. No.
We all did.
We did?
We all did.
Yeah. Hey, how did I jump out of edit mode?
Who knows, man, but you're lagging.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. It popped out of edit mode on me. I'm glad you guys warned me, because I would have probably skipped a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we'll start off with Podcasters Anonymous.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Fight! And I'm starting off with a Bacardi and Zero. And that is almost the amount... of the relationship of the liquids in the John Deere. What is this, 3246? I can't read the bottom without losing it all.
Snap the wall!
Cup. Yeah, it's pretty much 99 to 100% Bacardi and, the Zero Cokes.
A little flavor throw in.
A little flavor.
For color.
Yeah, for color. Michael.
Okay, and I'm working on my second glass of Yellowtail Merlot, which is significant considering it would be my second glass in probably a month.
Whoa.
When we were talking on the last show that's been published was May 14th. I was talking about a 12-pack of Miller Genuine Draft I had purchased. I still have beers left in that 12-pack, so that shows you how much I've been imbibing lately. So I should be in great shape tonight.
You know what? I'm
going to... Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Before you start, Joel, I'm killing my video because there's been some hesitation from Michael. So
yeah, it's getting busy here. I'll kill my video.
Yeah,
there we go.
Let's kill our video.
Check.
Okay, go ahead, Joel.
Rum.
Right to the point, eh?
Coke for color.
And what was that quote from Jaws? Rum isn't drinking, it's survival.
Here you have it, sir. Yeah. There you have it.
A Calico Jack coconut rum. Ooh.
Well, rum!
Sounds tropical.
And Barty.
I'm enjoying a fine Sam Adams Boston Lager. Always a good decision.
It is.
Yes, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and so we'll jump right into Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
A couple more rums, I'll be right there with you.
Okay. And I was going to start off with the weather, and I just wanted to say New Hampshire the past week has been downright gorgeous out. Matter of fact, it's sometimes been on the chilly side, especially in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Fired up the stove.
Yeah, it's been downright cold. But that hot, it's all the jet stream. The jet stream's been just looping down over New England, keeping us into nice, 70s, 80s, low 80s, and going down in the 50s at night. But that thermal bubble is coming this way, and it was a little warm today, and I guess it's going to be warm this week, but it's low humidity, so... You know, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, well, the sooner it moves the hell out of here, the better. We got nice temps, and today it got up into the upper 80s here, and I think it actually approached 90 in Syracuse. And tomorrow's supposed to be worse, and Monday worse again. Hmm. So as soon as it gets the hell out of here, I'll be happy. You're welcome to it.
Yeah. and on the first other topic... The second topic. We have a black squirrel that has joined our backyard family.
Is that racist?
I
no, that, I'm quoting the guys from from the New Hampshire After Hours.
Oh, is that racist? Yeah. So, no, but you know, considering that we've got about, you know, we got almost everybody else as gray squirrels, and then we have this one black squirrel, and it's probably about the right percentage of New Hampshire for New Hampshire, if you know what I mean. not that there's anything wrong or right about that. Just the way it is, you know? But I was wondering, are black squirrels... is there such a breed as black... Obviously, there's such a breed as black squirrels. Are they prominent in some other part of the country? Because we had a couple... many years ago, too, in the backyard. So, and now all suddenly this guy showed up. And I'm just wondering, you know, or do you think it's just a genetic thing? And, you know, one of the gray squirrels mixed it up with... I'm getting not real uncomfortable with this talk. But I just don't know whether... Are they seen here in New Hampshire normally? They're you know, it's a very pretty squirrel. And...
it's not-
You know, it's just I don't want this to get out of control. It's just a fucking squirrel, you know.
talking about Catholic and Christian squirrels and Muslim squirrels. And then we're going to start getting into trouble here.
Yeah, I know.
Certainly don't want to say he's better at basketball.
And we won't mention the little. the little black squirrels matter thing going on in the back.
What about the flying squirrels that live by me?
Oh, we have flying squirrels too, but they're mostly nocturnal. You don't really see them unless, of course, they fly into your house. Then you get to see them up close and personal.
They fly across the road to Saskatchewan all the time as I'm going back and forth.
Yeah, they're cool. They're cool.
Yeah, that must be pretty neat.
But does anybody know, Barty, you grew up in New Hampshire, black squirrels. Ever heard of them here?
Ever seeing one. One of the people that I have on my Facebook is in the Penacook area, and she regularly photographs a white squirrel that lives around her house.
Yeah. So,
Maybe the black squirrel and the white squirrel got together, and that's where all these grays came from.
The grays.
Well, maybe, you know, there's that old oil dump in the back of your property there.
Well, there's also a conspiracy about the Grays. Which girls could apply.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. You know, white squirrels are, you know, usually you see white squirrels, they're albino squirrels, and I think that's a genetic thing. It happens in pretty much all species. No, that's true. it's you know, so, but black squirrels, I guess it's either a genetic thing or, you know, somebody brought them here or he got caught on a truck or something and he ended up in my backyard, but,
in that oil pit.
I like him. That's all I can say. He's cool. And, you know, you see all the other gray squirrels out there, and then here comes the black squirrel, and I'm waiting for a cat or something to get him, though, because he does he doesn't have the same camouflage as the gray squirrel, so
yeah. Put a white stripe down his back and they'll always
everybody all vacate him. Yeah,
Pepe okay. Le squirrel.
All right, so you guys don't know. I'm gonna have to check the book of knowledge on that and see where black squirrels are predominantly from.
Indigenous too.
Indigenous, yeah. Yes. That.
Well,
that,
I mean, it's like it. When I first moved up here from way back from down in Pennsylvania, I had never known nor seen a black-tailed deer. But there, it's what you hunt up here is black-tailed deer, not white-tail. You have white-tail as well, but down Pennsylvania, it was just white-tailed deer that you went hunting for deer season.
Yeah.
And then they move up here and they go hunting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going black-tailed deer hunting. I'm like, excuse me? And they're like, yeah, they don't have white tails. They have black tails.
And then out west, they got mule deers, you know, because they got the bigger ears, you know.
Yep,
they're strange
set but deer damn tasty. Damn tasty.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Well, the black-tailed deer sure are. I shot three of them, but that's beside the point. They were damn tasty. They filled the freezer.
And Barry? Right. The Book of Knowledge does say they are common in the northeastern United States.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. They got uncommon for a while then. Maybe they're on a comeback.
Sort of like flamingos at in the Everglades. They're making a comeback. They were hunted out of existence back
really?
In the 40s and 50s because they were taking their feathers for women's hats.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so they were wiped out and... Man. The biological scientists have no understanding why they're coming back or from where for that matter, but they've noticed that they are starting to make a reappearance.
Wow, that's like the Grateful Dead. They're coming back.
And they're used for all those plastic molds.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, let's move on to our next topic now. I think
thank you.
Michael.
Yes. Yeah, so Mrs. Virtual Uper, the real ruler of the household here, you know, I'm being honest, the person with the the calm head, the logical thinking, everything. Anyhow, she's been on the road for the last couple of weeks. She originally went down to see the moms down in Illinois.
Yeah.
Which was a stressful event for me because although after 27 years together, I should not be surprised anymore, but as she made her preparations to leave, she did not leave until 7 o'clock at night.
Ouch.
This is a 465-mile trip.
Yeah.
What kept me sane, this is partially Geek Corner here, is find my iPhone. Because she's on my same account, so yeah. At least I was able to sleep a little bit, and when I would wake up, I'd click on find my iPhone, and go, oh, she's here. Okay. That's about right. And then she was in a specific parking lot at 4 in the morning when I woke up and looked at it and said, okay, she's sleeping there because she knows the owner of the business. I know where she's at. I know when she shows up there that the police department is going to know who she is and keep an eye on her. I can go back to sleep for a bit. She didn't get to our mom's place until 9:30 in the morning Eastern time.
Wow.
So I credit any sleep I got at all to find my iPhone because in the past, I would wait for her to call because it annoys the hell out of her for me to call her and say, how's it going? How's it going? How's it
yeah,
going?
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you at?
So she went down to see the relatives, and now she's farm-sitting down in Wisconsin nice. With our last horse, the G-Man. Actually, that's my horse, but our last horse was now 29.
Wow.
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 And going back to our friendly common theme here, he is a Canadian Arabian horse, by the way. So he was a reserve national champion from a show I won't get into up there. And the reason why my wife was looking for this particular horse is because Arabians aren't normally a really tall horse.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking for something that I could ride.
Huh.
So this is actually a fairly tall Arabian, and he's got a good mannerism and everything else. And he's been my buddy a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, he's down in Wisconsin, and she's enjoying some quiet weeks down there farm sitting. She's having a great time.
Very good. Now, does she like to drive? Does she like to drive at night? Is that why she?
Oh, she loves to drive at night.
Okay. Yeah, a lot
and
of people.
I don't mind her driving at night. I just wish she would get some sleep before she does it.
I know a lot of people that would rather travel at night than during the day and deal with the traffic and everything. But
yep, that's her. Yeah. But it's one thing to drive at night. It's another thing to get up at 6 a.m. and pack and deal with business all day long and then leave.
Yeah. So
then I work.
Yeah, Michael, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It cut. Into
abruptly.
We're on summer bandwidth here. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure you were still there. So.
There are thousands of drunk fishermen here in town this weekend. It's the longest day of the year.
Oh, that's
the longest weekend of the year.
Yes, it is. Is this midnight pizza time?
There will probably be some people up on top of Brockway at 11:30 eating pizza tonight. Yes.
Really?
In the twilight.
There we go. Man. I haven't heard that
in
a while.
Right into that.
Okay, that's enough.
It'll be a very special type of pizza.
Oh, my God.
Right, careful. You may offend somebody.
Yeah, I've been known to do that.
Oh, is that bad? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I respect your right to do the party.
All right, let's move on to Joel.
Speaking of pissing people off, no, hey, I know. So, that's right, I do what I'm good at. Anyway, we have a new addition to the family here. My beautiful bride, who had a friend of hers, I think, on Facebook. I don't know. I don't Facebook. Had told me that, hey, a friend of hers was looking to rehome a, what the hell is it? Is it a Nigerian miniature goat? I think it's Nigerian. I'm not sure.
Cute little sucker. She posts a lot of pictures of him. He's really neat.
And so his name is Buddy. And so she said, he's a miniature. And I'm like, oh, okay. She says, you have to go pick him up. He's an hour and a half away. I'm like,
you have to go pick him up.
Okay, I guess you got to go pick him up an hour and a half away.
So I guess your second job is goat taxi.
Yeah, really. And one of the things I said, well, how big is he? You know, so it kind of this jumps partially down into bottom gear. But we had a loaner vehicle. I'll save the rest for bottom gear as far as vehicle goes. And I said, is he going to fit in the loaner? And she says, well, we have the crate, which is how you typically haul goats. You have a crate of various sizes, depending, obviously, upon the size of the goat. And then, you know, you have them in the crate. So we set up our what I thought was going to be a big enough crate. Boy, did I get that one wrong. And, you know, slid it into the back of the loaner vehicle to be revealed later. Drove the hour and a half. Great. Pleasant drive. Really had a nice time just, you know, together going, trying to find the place. And thank God for printing out directions. And one of the things I was going with is because when you're using the old GPS, especially if you haven't updated the maps in a long, long, long time on your Garmin, let's just say it's not aware of the roads that exist now. And so I fired up Google Maps on the old phone. Thank you, Barry. That's how we made several treks together.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, well, call me old school, but I have maps. And I have paper map. I doesn't need batteries, and I can find out where the hell I'm going. But we got all the way up to where we were headed. And we meet the folks, and how you doing, and the pleasantries. And they said, okay, here's Buddy. And I went, there's no way in hell he's fitting in the back of that crate.
He wasn't quite as miniature as you thought?
not by a country mile at 80 plus pounds. And I went, and he has his horns. So it's like, and he's super friendly, super, super friendly. And I thought, how are we going to pull this one off? And, Buddy did really, really well sitting in the back of the vehicle while my beautiful bride was petting him and stroking him. And we drove the hour and a half back.
Wow.
With Watson sitting on the back seat. He meets a brand new dog for the first time, and he had a nice comfy spot in the back of the vehicle.
With strangers. Wow.
An hour and a half drive on backcountry roads.
Wow.
Yes, and the entire time while commute, driving, and occasionally once in a while, he'd like to stand up.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, buddy, sit down, please, because I keep thinking, if he hits that side glass with his horns... In a $200 piece of glass in a loaner vehicle.
Yeah, no.
And I don't even own this SUV, and I'm going to be putting a new window in the side. But, it worked out good, and Buddy's home, and he's absolutely getting along great with Mango and Pancake. Huh. And the funny thing is he's never seen another goat before.
Wow.
He was a companion to a horse.
I was going to ask you if Buddy had a buddy that, you know, needed to come with him.
He got rehomed with another lovely family, because there's no way in hell I'm ever having a horse here.
What? Wow, we'll have to work on that.
Oh, you can feel free to work your little heart's content, because it ain't going to happen. Been there, done that, times four, all set, got the t-shirt.
Oh man, I switched back.
That was our interesting.
Wow. Don't worry, Joel. When I come out east with Chris, Chris can talk to your beautiful bride about horses.
Oh, and just
there you go.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Let's. We'll have plenty of Merlot then. How's that?
So that was that one.
How about you, Barry?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that the Jersey Boys are still here. In case if you're a new listener, Jersey Boys are our turkeys, our wild turkeys that have been coming since they were little turklets. And they just hang around. It's summertime. It's just like they got the name Jersey Boys because it's like kids that got out of school and they go down to the drugstore and hang out at the corner. Yeah, and what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? That's what they do.
Let's go get a slice. Let's go get a slice.
Yeah, let's go get a slice. And they hang out in the backyard. They sun themselves. They settle down. They just, you know, sit, take dirt baths, just sit there. You know, they hardly ever leave. They just kind of go from my neighbor's house to our house, back and forth. And we feed them, of course. Yes, they get corn. They get lots of corn. They get fed like twice a day now.
And they never leave.
And the feeding is good. The restaurant service is fantastic.
It is. And they come up if we're not attending to them in a timely manner. They come up to the sliding glass door and tell us. Yeah, so the dog ignores him. Sammy ignores him. He just walks out and goes, "Hey, how you doing, guys?" and just goes on.
That's funny.
So, but they're here. They're still around. Just wanted to tell you, this is like our third year with them. So, and they've stayed. They stay throughout the winter and everything. So, anyway, so I just wanted to give an update on the Jersey Boys.
Cool,
Michael.
So, I actually haven't run since the last podcast that was posted.
Mm-hmm.
So from May 14th until June, when did I go? June 16th. I just kind of let my body recover. Toy boat. It's that second glass of Merlot talking there. I don't run well on the streets anymore. And 9 miles of that did stress things a bit. So I'd kind of let things settle for a while. But it's been a stressful week in the software department, and although I was making great progress, and actually I did manage to get a software release out by the weekend like they wanted after redesigning life, the universe, and everything, I should call it version 42, I told them at lunchtime, I said, okay, I've got the software revision done. I'm going to go out and test it with a long run. And again, bless this company. They're like, absolutely, Mike, you need it. Go for it. So I went out on a 7.5 mile run after not running for a month. And as I was coming back into town, one of my firefighter brethren from Philadelphia, I've talked about him before, Joe, is back in town. And he sees me running by, and he just kind of waves me in. You know, okay, I'm coming on runway 16. I'm like, okay. So I come in. He goes, got to show you the latest thing for the Berry Patch. And the Berry Patch is an ice cream parlor here in town that he bought for his retirement. Well, Joe has brought up from Philadelphia, from the East Coast, Italian water ice.
Oh, nice.
I guess was started by a firefighter.
Wow.
And he's brought everything he needs to do it from scratch. And he's been brewing it on the side in the back room. He's not opening to July 1st yet, but he had a batch ready to go when he saw me run by the other way. So he gives me this big glass of Italian lemon water ice.
Ooh, nice.
My God, was that good?
That's,
yes, sir.
I have not had that's Italian the kind, ice like that since I left Illinois.
That's the shaved it's kind of the shave, not the is this the ice do they
it's not chemicals. It's no real
but
flavor.
There's two types of water ice. There's the you have crushed ice and then you pour a flavor on top of it, or then there's one that's it's where they scrape it, and the flavor is all the way through.
All the way through.
It was in it before it was frozen. It just was awesome.
Yep. Okay. That's absolutely awesome. To me, that's real Italian water ice. The other one is just, you know.
Let's put it this way. His supplies are coming from Pennsylvania.
Ah.
Nice.
South Jersey? Yes. Or South Jersey. South Philly?
South Philly.
South Philly?
That's South, where, actually, I think he is from South Philly.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be if he's Italian. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry
It was awesome. It was just awesome. That's all I got to say.
I don't want to sound like, you know, I've stereotyped something, but a lot of the Italians lived in South Philly.
I don't know if he's Italian, actually. His last name sounds French to me, but he is a firefighter from South Philly.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all that matters. He's a brother in the Corps.
You got it, man. Cool.
All right.
That's good stuff. Let's see here. So tomorrow is, as advertised locally on lots of billboards in the area here, is the at Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Factory is the Rockin' Rib Fest in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So
right across from where I work.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So that is on the itinerary for my beautiful bride, as well as family here. And although it depends, when you've got teenagers, sometimes you just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. But absolutely guaranteed to have some fantastic ribs for Father's Day. Mm. So that being said, Debbie's going to participate in the, is it a 5K?
Yeah, 5K. It's a 5K. Yeah, she's gonna run. Cool, very good.
Yeah, well, as she said, I will be moving through it.
Okay, running, walking doesn't matter. She's moving. She's gonna.
No, it doesn't. Just
she's
do
gonna
it.
Move 5K from one point to another point. That's got what counts.
And I will be cheering her on all along the way while sitting in a lounge chair with barbecue sauce dripping on my shirt.
You got to get us a picture of that.
Now, this is, to let people know, I believe this is a two-day event, so you're going on the second day, because it was, it happened today. I don't know whether it happens Friday night anymore or not. It may start Friday night, I'm not sure.
The website says it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay, yeah, so it starts Friday night, because they use our parking lots for overflow parking.
Mm-hmm,
But it was an off Friday for me this week, so I didn't. I didn't see.
I can honestly say I've had some of the best ribs I have ever eaten in my life. Came from the Rockin' Rib Fest, and there's probably, because it's a cooking competition for ribs. So we're talking literally world class, you know, smokers going here and folks with their own recipes making ribs. And I know the year previous, you know. A rack of ribs, and I picked up for us, and everybody else got one, and one rib. I ate the rest.
I guess they were damn good.
No, but realistically, it's a good time. Plus, they have the air show.
Yes.
So you know, while you're just after the race, once all the runners are back, you know, you can get a beer, get some ribs, some good barbecue. They got pulled pork, and then they have a fantastic air show that goes on right there over top of the grounds, which is pretty impressive. And then go for the tour to see the Clydesdales and mm-hmm. and the facility there, which you know, we've done several times because it's a really cool tour.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's on the agenda.
I guess you can tour the brewery too, I guess, if you want to.
Oh yeah, that's what I meant. When you see you go see the Clydesdales and then you go see the brewery.
Yeah, yeah. The Clydesdales. No. Man, I'll tell you, of course we used to go over there on working Fridays sometimes in the summertime to go, because they have picnic benches and stuff, and you could go over there and then you'd pop in and see if the horses are in town, because they're away a lot. They do a lot of touring, but when they're in and you look at their stables, man, those horses are they've got the life, as my father would say, they've got the life of Riley. I don't know what that means, but he used to always say that. And yeah, I mean, beautiful, pristine stables for these huge horses. I mean, Joel and I are very tall, and these horses tower over us.
Oh, you know, it's the only horse I've ever looked at where I thought, I'd climb up on him, and the horse wouldn't look back and say, "Will you please get the hell off my back?"
Yeah, he wouldn't even think twice about it.
That big.
Yeah, they are
majestic,
fantastic. They are a fantastic, majestic animal. That's for sure. So. And,
I don't want to interrupt or break the flow we got going here, but I have to go to the men's room and refill my glass at the same time. Not in the men's room, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't make that
mistake. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, I'll continue since he's going, and besides, he doesn't do Facebook anyway. But I put this in here. It's like I have taken a break from Facebook for a while, only because, and it is very hard to do, because I get emails that people are updating things, and, you know, I go in and look at the emails to try to get the stories, but I'm really, at this particular time of year and everything, and in particular current events that have happened, I'm really tired of hearing the arguments that are going on the useless page called Facebook, where, you know, people on both sides of an issue just sit there and they think they're going to convince other people that they're wrong and they're right, and the other side thinks that they're wrong and they're right, and the other people are wrong and they're going to convince them, and nothing is further from the truth. It's not happening, people. You're talking amongst yourselves. And then there's the occasional troll that comes in and adds something just to stir things up again. You know, so I was sitting there, and for a time, you know, I'd see a story and I'd say, okay, you know how you can do the pull down and say, ignore this and other stories like this. I do that, and then it clears up for a little bit, and then they seem to come back, and it's like, you know, okay. Really, when I go on Facebook, I want to catch up with old friends. I want to see what they're doing, in the summertime, how the kids are doing, who graduated, who had babies, who's getting married, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't need somebody's asshole opinion about something, you know? It's and to sit there and argue on Facebook is pointless. It really is pointless. So I'm taking a break from it. So if you don't see me there, or you don't see me posting for a while, it's just I need the break. And Twitter's going to be next if it keeps up. Although I use Twitter more for current events, for breaking news and things like that. But that's all I just wanted to say there. But
yeah, I'm actually tweeting more than Facebooking these days. Mm-hmm. I occasionally put something up on Google Plus if it's important, because generally only the people that really know me well are going to see it anyhow. So that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
My oldest son, who's actually, he doesn't post much, but he reads a lot mm-hmm. of what his friends are doing on Facebook. And we talked this week, and he goes, you know, I'm really, really disappointed on the social media views of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David and I don't agree on everything, but again, I respect everything he's got to say because he thinks it through. He does the research. He's right. Got an opinion. And we have, honest to goodness, discussion on things. Like, I at this point, I can't say I am a Trump supporter,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just absolutely appalled at the... I'm fully in favor of demonstrations, but not violent demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
And my son goes, well, that's all hype. And I'm like, no. It's not hard to go out there and look for it. I said, just go out and search the news stories, especially, you know, San Jose.
Right.
Lots of bad things happened there. Not only did bad things happen, but the police were told to stand down.
Yeah.
And the media is just ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is from somebody who's not a Trump supporter. I support free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I don't support the liberal, it's free speech unless it disagrees with what I've got to say. Then I violently oppose it. That I have a problem with. Okay, I've gotten really political here. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's I totally understand what you're saying, and you can see the bias for one thing. And if the press is forced to cover it, they come up with some excuse why it's all Trump's fault. Well, he shouldn't have come here in the first place. You know, and well, again, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, and they can, but it's like, you know, why don't you just go in and report the freaking news?
Yeah, just be really unbiased reporters. That would be great.
It's just like when the news covers Bernie Sanders, and you know they show him at, you know, one of his rallies, and they always show close ups of just him, and you know they don't pan out to the crowd, because I've seen some panned out views of the crowds at Bernie Sanders.
They're huge.
Crowds. They're huge. There's like 20,000 people there, but they won't show it on the news. Absolutely not. You got to go and find somebody who was there. It snapped a picture or something.
You know, my oldest son is vocally a Bernie Sanders supporter. Mm-hmm. I'd say half the town here is. And based on the selection we've got with here, that's actually who I've been voting for, despite the fact that I have problems with his math. But but the guy actually seems to want to make a change. I can't fault him for that.
And
the rest of the system will balance it out.
And that's exactly what I was just going to say to you. You know, so, you know, he's maybe going too far. It sounds like he talks too much, too far. But the rest of the system will balance it out. You know, you know, but, you know, I'm telling, you know.
We have to get away from having the same old, election after election.
It is.
You know, because we're constantly complaining about the same things with government. Mm-hmm. The same problems, election after election, Congress after Congress. It never changes because you keep putting the same assholes in there.
Right. And they're afraid to say anything.
So you need to get them out of there.
Yeah.
And any fresh air that comes in can only be good.
Right. Yeah, I don't agree with... okay. Two of the candidates, I don't totally agree with either one of them, but I agree on some things. There is one candidate I totally agree with everything, and that's because that candidate, and I can't say how I know or what I know, but in my line of business, pretty much everybody says, yeah, why do we want a criminal for a president? And that's, you know, it's not what that person says, it's that person's actions and how that person has put many people's lives in danger. Now, you might say other presidents have done that too, but she's out for herself. I hear that about Trump all the time. Oh, sorry. That person is out for themselves. Sorry, I gave it away. Okay. There is not one person I know that I work with, and I have extremely liberal people, and I have extremely conservative people, and a lot of people in the middle. None of them like that person. You know, people just go, when you say the name. You know, it's just, you know, but that's okay. You know, people would rather worry about what people say than what they actually do. You know?
Yeah, yeah, you know? That's a problem.
And a lot of what they did is hidden. And it may come out someday, but not now. And not for 30 years. So, anyway. Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Michael.
I'm going to take a time to grab the hole in the first place. So don't be sorry. We're just being honest here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a long time since I've swung around the other side here. And, I'd rather do that. You know, this is a joke. Who are the real candidates? But
there's not much of a choice out there.
Yeah, but what they're the most honest person I see, despite his math, is Sanders.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trashing Trump at all. Yeah, there are some vocally off the wall supporters, but there are certainly off the wall supporters in every single one of the groups there. And I can just see, growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, you know, the political system where the dead outvote the living, you just can see signs of political sabotage left and right. And it's going on in all of the groups here. And like, well, crap, you know, just cut this stuff out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going
to
say this.
I'm not trashing anybody that supports Trump, but I do respect the fact that people have a right to hear him.
Yeah.
People have the right to hear anybody, even
the criminal. You know, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
Again, coming from my background, you want to piss me off, block a road. I'm a paramedic. You don't disrupt the system, and you don't tell the system to stand down.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to verify it yet. I've heard all the reports that, you know, 911 was delayed in San Jose during this whole thing. And if that in fact was the case, man, I hope they prosecute that to the nth degree. But it is California, so God knows.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've actually worked out there, so I have a pretty good idea of the system. I've actually worked in San Jose, even. I know the city pretty well.
Yep.
That's why I don't live there.
Smart man.
But
where was I going? So this is do a 180 degree turn here, because my subject was preps for MMPR 16.
Yeah.
Okay. Hit the reset, control alt delete.
There you go.
Do the right shift option finder relaunch. Okay. Fresh start here. I'm really looking forward to MMPR 16. I don't know how many of you still watch the chat group for MMPR 16. But I threw out, just for the hell of it, I threw out a light bulb this week, which, of course, is the symbol for a newscast.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, right.
Anthony, in his just incredible intelligence, put up a new icon where the illuminating element was MMPR 16 inside the bulb. And that was cool. That was just absolute class. I hope that turns out to be a button. Hint, hint, hint. So, looking forward to heading out there in 2 weeks, and totally out of the blue. Again, I quote unquote have quit this IT support thing, but still, when a company has a problem in town and they can't process their credit cards, I'll do what I can do. Mm-hmm. I spent about 6 hours on Memorial Day weekend helping a business in town that is already just bent over backwards for my family. And they sent me a thank you card.
Oh, wow.
Three $100 bills in the card.
Nice. Oh, wow. Man.
I tried to give it back to them. Yeah. They wouldn't take it.
Wow.
So awesome. Two-thirds of that have gone to the family budget. As you know, I'm getting just absolutely hammered by an issue that will come up, and a special issue with Blossom. But that's like a glass of wine is just hammering me, guys. Sorry. I have saved $100 for beverages and food for MPR. So.
Nice.
Nice. Very good.
Sounds like you're back, Joel.
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I've been just blathering away here. I think it's over to you.
Oh, all right. Well, nothing earth shattering, but, you know, just Days of Our Life kind of stuff. Operation French Drain Connection commenced.
I saw the movie those... The theater guy.
Exactly. thank you, Gene Hackman. But I don't think he was helping me bail out my basement before. So
no, he was more interested in high boots.
But. For those four listeners that we've had, they are aware from past podcasts that every time it friggin' rained heavily or snow melted, my inky-dinky tiny little basement used to get water in it. And sometimes a heck of a lot more than I ever wished it did. Well, solution, put French drains around the house. And we kicked off Operation French Drain Connection 2 weekends ago. Now, it's still in the works. The front of the house is done. Beautiful crushed stone. A good friend of Dr. Kenny's and mine, Scott, who has a landscaping company, kindly came up and brought his mini excavator. And we excavated 2 feet down around the foundation of my house. Put in the piping, put in the landscape cloth, put in the stone, and albeit we haven't had I'm going to call it a sizable amount of rain since then.
Yeah.
The basement is dry.
Nice.
The back of the house is dug and trenched out to the Y connection where both the front and the back meet, and then we have a rather deep 2-foot hole and lots of dirt all around and boulders because we got to finish it all up next weekend. But. French drain connection is around the house is complete, and my basement be dry. So nice. I'm pretty happy about that. Very darn happy about that. It worked. And awesome. So the little cabin in the woods is in a better, each and every day is in better and better shape than it was and has been for, geez, well, since I guess the original part when it was built in 1860.
Wow. It's getting there. It's almost done.
Oh, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I still got a bunch of windows to change. Inside
is that how old your cabin is?
The original part of the cabin's built in 1860.
Cool.
And then they added on to the right-hand side, if you will, of the cab to the left-hand side, which is now the office and a bedroom, small bedroom. They added to the front, which pushed it out a little bit, considerably. And then they added to the right side of the cabin, which then turned into the kitchen and then the living room and then added the bathroom. So it was over the years, it's been added on to and added on to and added on to where it's at now. So, it's coming together. It's slowly but surely. I mean, between the French drain connection and today, tomorrow I'm putting in a bathroom window. New replacement window, and I put a new... I think I talked about that in the last show. I put a new front door on. Did I mention that?
Yeah, you talked about that last show.
Yeah, the cherry all-glass front door. Yep, so, that's done. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that by fall, because I really don't want to do it in summer, but I'm going to probably do it at the tail end of summer, put the metal roof on.
Nice.
Yeah. Metal roof and then the log siding on it, and we'll be done. Well, that part.
You're never done. You're never done. You own a house, you're never done. but you'll be at a point that you are comfortable living with it.
Well, yes, and plus winter is coming.
Yes.
Oh, we got to make it more winterproof because this last winter, I think we dodged a bullet.
Yeah, you know, we really didn't get that much snow, and it was a fairly warm winter, so, yes. But you got that stove. I mean, let's face it. You know, you put that stove awesome on high stove. Power, and you know, 6 feet of snow melts within a, 800 diameter around your house.
Pretty much. It will roast you right the hell out of here.
So.
There's no doubt about that. And it'll do it for about $4 a day.
Yeah. You can't That's complain awesome. About that. Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, I got a surprise. I didn't put this down. I got a surprise from Eversource this week. It was the 6-month adjustment to the budget plan. And even though, you know, they have the little graph and I was watching and I was consistently lower every month I was using less electricity this year every month than I did last year.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, my monthly payment went up $135.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And the only thing I can say is that's the price of energy and things that went up.
$135. I mean, I was expecting to say, you know, $50, $60 bucks.
No. So I'm paying. Holy I will crap. Tell you, I am paying now. What is it? It's $356 a month for electricity.
Crap.
Now, granted, we have electric heat in the wintertime upstairs.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the bulk comes from, even though we only have it on in like two or three rooms, because the bad thing about electric heat is expensive. The nice thing about electric heat is there's a thermostat in every room, and you can turn it off in the rooms you're not using.
So, right.
But it is expensive. And we got to the point, when we first moved into the house, we didn't use it. Yeah, right. We just, you know, put on tons of blankets and, you know, tough it out when you had to get out of bed and stuff. Yeah, as we got older, that changed.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I was shocked, and I'm sure it's because when they adjusted it to the previous amount, it probably wasn't adjusted properly. So now I'm making up a difference. But I'm still waiting for FailPoint to take over as my electric supplier.
God help you there.
it's a penny cheaper. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm stuck with this bill for the next 6 months until they redo it again. I guess it's November time frame is catch-up month. So if I still owe money.
I was going to say, there are two words that would maybe help lessen that.
Yeah.
Solar panels.
Yeah. We're starting to talk about maybe, because we're getting up there looking at potentially downsizing and getting into something where we're ready to go for retirement, even though I'm a few years away from that. It never hurts to start looking into it now.
Right.
And in particular, because we're in beautiful Jaffrey, New Hampshire, who can't manage anything, any kind of budget, and let the federal government and the state government screw them over. So that's why I pay very high property taxes. Houses.
Say, there's lots of places for sale up around my mountain.
Yeah, but I got to sell this. I would have to sell this place first.
Oh, but it's just.
And this place right now, even though there's a kind of a boom going in real estate, and not in Jaffrey. I'm seeing houses sit 2-3 years on the market. And I can only guess that it's the property taxes.
That could be. I mean, if and when you can find that wonderful buyer who wants such a beautiful home, I mean, don't rule this area out, because we have FU internet.
Oh, I that will be one of the things if we start looking. But I think we're looking toward maybe, you know, going to a 55 or older community or something like that, where, you know, things are taken care of for you. It's included you pay a monthly fee, but, you know, that stuff disappears because, you know, again, this place every year gets a little tougher to take care of it. You know?
Yeah, I can relate to that. Tony and I have had this property for, I think, about 10 years now, and a lot of the things were pretty easy for us to handle in the first 5, but the last 5, you know, as we get older, it's not as easy to deal with. You know, like the first 5 years, we didn't have any trouble getting up on the roof and shoveling the snow off ourselves.
Yeah.
That got to be a bit difficult. And then we, of course, you know, as we've talked about here, we put the metal roof on, you know. But, yeah, it's just harder and harder as the time goes on. I really wish I had someone that would take care of all this crap. So I can understand the appeal of moving to someplace where there is people to take care of all that crap.
Right. So, okay. So that's Days of Our Lives. Let's go into... Oh, we're going to get in trouble for this one. Broken news.
Ha ha!
And now, live from the QRM studios in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, this is Broken News. Okay, and we have two topics that I put in there. Nobody else put any topics in, but that's okay. And of course, yeah, they're the two major topics that have been going on. The first is, well, before we start the news, I think we're going to start with commentary before we start the news. And the commentary is I'll try to put this as nicely as I can, because, it was brought forth to us in another podcast that we may have offended some people and that they didn't particularly care for our opinion. To that, I've got to say, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one, and most of them stink. Okay? And all I can say is, I'm sorry if we offended you. I'm not going to get in any kind of a debate with anybody else about my opinion or anybody else on this show's opinion. It's our opinion, and that's it. If it offends you, please don't listen anymore. If you can get over it, if you have a thick enough skin, fine. Listen. No, it's our opinion, and it, you know, you have your own opinion, and you may state that. Okay? But on this show, we will have our opinion. We will maybe talk about other podcasts' opinion, but we won't name them by name because that's not what we do. It's somebody else's opinion. We might state the opinion. We may not even say where it came from. We might just say other people have this opinion. But that's the way we operate here. So I just want to make that clear, and that's the way it's going to be. And again, if anybody has an issue with that, they're free to stop listening. You guys would like to comment any more?
What he said.
What you said. Barry. I'm sorry.
And it may be a surprise to some of our listeners that we all don't agree on the same opinion, but we still sure as hell respect each other.
And we've been doing this for 6 years now. So.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. And Joel and I have been doing it for freaking 10, 11 years. So, anyway, so let's go into our first news item. And, of course, it's what happened last Saturday night down in Orlando. The I like to refer to it as a terrorist attack. I know other people may disagree with that. But it was a one person that was obviously mentally not there, had issues, maybe had issues with his own sexual preference based on his religion. I don't know what it was, but the guy went berserk and went in with, it wasn't an AR-15, by the way. It was a Sig Sauer, and I don't remember, MX something. But it was an AR-15-like weapon, and shot up a gay nightclub. It could have been he shot up any nightclub, but we'll say he shot up a gay nightclub because, well, you know, that
was... It was a gay nightclub.
It was a gay nightclub. And that's, you know, fine. So, that happened. That's a terrible thing. Everything's being looked at, but the number one thing our government seems to be worried about is the fact that automatic weapons should not be in the hands of normal civilian people.
And it wasn't an automatic, it was a semi-automatic.
It was a semi-automatic, but most people that are ignorant, and yes, I'll say ignorant, don't know the difference between an automatic and a semi-automatic weapon. And most people don't realize that the AR-15 is an assault weapon because it's got a, a telescoping, whatchamacallit, sure, just lost my train of thought, butt and a handle. Otherwise, it's just like pretty much any hunting rifle you can get out there. So, but it does. For every pull of the trigger, you can fire off a shell. Okay, that does not equate an assault weapon. There's a lot of weapons out there that do that. My handgun does that. I'm sure a lot of Joel's guns in his arsenal do that. I've seen some of them, and I know because he's let me fire them at a range, and yes, it's like boom, 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 boom until you run out of bullets. Yeah. You know? And yes, it's terrible what happened. Nobody wants to see that happen. And I don't know. I just don't know how to put this the way I want to put it. If you get rid of the guns, then there'll be less chance of it. No, because if these people are crazy enough to do that, they'll find a way to kill because that's what their goal is. I didn't see anybody calling for people to ban pressure cookers after what happened at the Boston Marathon. They're still freely available for people to get. One of the big industries up in Peterborough is New Hampshire ball bearings. I don't see tighter control over ball bearings at that facility because, boy, ball bearings make excellent shrapnel. Screws, nails, staples, they all make excellent shrapnel. Are we going to sign our lives away for that too? Now, granted, a weapon's a weapon's a weapon. And should we be checking things? Yes, we do. We've already been checked. There were warning signs about this guy. He was reported, and our government failed.
Yep. Government failed.
Government failed. Oh, how can that be? You know, the government is a big group of people, and they're just like you and me. And that's another thing. When people say, well, people don't need AR-15s. And by the way, guys, feel free to jump in. I got to tell you.
I'll jump in when you're done.
Okay. I got to tell you that I live in a small rural town in New Hampshire. As you all know, it's a very scenic area. It's a very sparse area. Now, when people say, oh, well, you know, you don't need those kind of guns. And it's like, well, out here, we have a police force of 13 people. And that 13 people handle all the police needs of Jaffrey 24/7. Okay. Now, as far as normal day-to-day criminal stuff that goes on, yeah, you probably heard there's an opioid problem, a heroin problem going on in New Hampshire right now. Don't know why, don't know how it started, haven't really looked into the details of that, but I know it exists, it's happening, people are looking for money to, you know, take care of their habit and things. So, there's been a lot of break-ins, there's been a lot of forced entries, and the good old thing is, when you have seconds to react and the police are 15 minutes away, what are you going to do? So, yes, I'm a gun owner. I have guns. The first thing I'm going to do if I think somebody's breaking in is call 911. And then I'm going to wait the 15 or 20 minutes for them to get to my house. But meanwhile, if somebody forces their way in and I can't convince them it's not a good idea, hopefully the sound of my shotgun going will change their mind. And if that doesn't, sorry, buddy, but I'm protecting my family first. Sorry the police didn't make it there in time. Okay? But that's rural living. Okay? I don't know what it's like in the city, but that's rural living. Now, you say, well, you don't trust your cops. No, I absolutely, positively trust my police officers. There's just not enough of them, and there's not enough money in the town to hire any more. And yes, the towns help each other out. You know, there's a thing. And we do have state police, but, oh, geez, they're like 25, 30 minutes away. You know? So that's what it is. When you live in a rural town, and maybe this goes back to old-style living, the town people help each other out. And that means they have auxiliary police they can call up for events. We have an all-volunteer fire company, except for the captain. We have an all-volunteer EMT group. Uh-huh. Everything is volunteers. It's people in the neighborhood getting together and volunteering to help the community. Now, that also includes protecting the community. And people say, well, you could never attack. Why would you want to attack our government to begin with? I don't. I don't want to attack our community, our government. You know, what I'm worried about, or and maybe this may never happen, I pray to God, or pray to a deity, or just pray to whatever, hope, think that it will never happen. But it could. There could be cells that are out there. They could attack. And you can say, oh, that's ridiculous. It'll never happen. Well, it could happen, and I want to be prepared. And if that means having, you know, a gun, a semi-automatic, to help protect the town, maybe even just to, you know, delay them a bit until other help can get there, because that's the biggest thing. You know, if something like that broke out, our military is the most sophisticated military in the world. They can't be everywhere, and therefore they prioritize what they're going to protect. Somehow, I don't think Jaffrey, New Hampshire is high on that protection list. So therefore, it's up to the people to protect themselves, or at least try to hold it off until help comes. Uh-huh. Now, you may think that's ridiculous. It'll never happen. I hope you're right, but I'm going to be ready in case you're not. And how does that fit into this? It's gun control. But another thing about the Orlando terrorist attack, I've got to say, and I agree with Howard Stern, I heard him say this, but I was already thinking this. I said, it's a tragedy what happened. It's certainly something you'd never want to be a part of, never want any of your loved ones or friends to ever experience. But I got to ask a question. Have we become a nation of sheep? There were like 300 and some people in there. Now, granted, it's a scary thing. And maybe this is the military training talking here. But we're taught, you're in an incident, assess the situation, protect yourself. If at all time you can, if you can figure out, it's one guy, he's got one AR-15, not Sig Sauer, and one handgun, okay? All right. He's in a big place. If you're in front of him, you may not want to try to get him. But while he's facing you, there's a bunch of people behind him. Why hasn't four or five people try to rush him and take him down? It wouldn't take much. He's busy handling a frickin' AR-15.
And he made 16 phone calls while he was in
and
there.
And he made and at one
doing
point,
social media posts, yeah.
And at one point the gun jammed on him. Hello? Go find things in their place. There's a bar there, you know? Grab a knife or something from behind. Get a fire extinguisher. It's like 20 pounds. Throw it at him. Knock him out. Get him down on the ground. Do something. Don't wait for the police. Don't wait for the government to save you. I mean, they're busy taking videos. Okay. You know, some people are going to be afraid. But I can't believe out of 350 people, nobody tried to take one individual down. It's assess the situation. I'm not saying go in there and be a hero. But damn, you know, could have been a lot less if some people would have just manned up and hit them from the back.
And just get them down.
Get them down. It wouldn't take much. And then, God, after that, you know, just keep pummeling his head. Do something, you know? You think, oh, I can't do that to a human being. It's like, guess what? That human being's doing it to you, so self-preservation. Do it!
Well, what you're asking is what took place on a French train not too many months ago, right?
Exactly, yes. And guess what?
Who did it?
And there were military members that did it.
But who stepped right. up?
Yeah.
They ran and attacked a guy with a gun.
I mean, even as a civilian, and of course where I work and the situation, we do a lot of foreign travel. We get trained about assessing the situation and all this, you know, it's training that we go through. And it's like, you know, it's you know, I just, that, you know, I don't blame anybody there. They weren't trained. I don't think we properly train people anymore. I can understand why most of the people just sit around and pray for the police to come and help, but I got to tell you that the shooting started at 1:58 in the morning. Police were there by 2:30. They didn't go in until 5 o'clock because they were assessing the situation. You know? So that means that there was all these people in there, you know, basically not trying to do anything. I don't know. That's just me. I'd be trying to do something. And you say, oh, well, if you're in the situation, you don't know. I'd say, yeah, I pretty much know myself, and I would try to do something. I wouldn't be foolish about it. I would try to save my life, but I'm not going to cower in a corner and say, please don't shoot me, please don't shoot me. You know? No. You can work around, find the exits, get out, you know, do, yeah, it really is. Howard Stern said, it's like, you know, the people in this country now are sheep, and the police and the military are the sheepdogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're there, but they're not enough sheep and sheepdogs to protect all the sheep. They do the best they can. Wolves are around everywhere. Okay, wolves take off one or two a night, you know. So what do? You train the sheep to go after the wolves, and you'll be a lot better. He said something different. I just say he said arm the sheep. I won't do that because it'll probably get people upset. You know, protect yourselves, people. Don't depend on the federal government. Don't depend on your police force to protect you. They'll do the best they can, but sometimes the best they can may take time, and you don't have that time, so do it yourself. Take some responsibility. That's the problem with this world right now. Nobody takes responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. You think taking away guns? There's multiple millions of guns out. Now, you think, you know, stopping these guns, all you're doing is pulling it away from, well, people like me who keep them, who train, who know how to use the weapon. And I say that by saying right now that I'm grossly behind. I need to get my ass to a range and start training again. I'd take a couple of NRA courses. Oh, my God, the dreaded NRA, who has the best shooting training courses there can be, and that's what what the NRA is. And oh, by the way, yes, I'm a member of the NRA because I support them because they do a lot of training. They make sure people are safe, and they make sure people know how to use a weapon. Okay, and they also happen to be a lobby group, and they say, oh yeah, they have all that money and they do that. Well, guess what? Where do you think that money comes from? Comes from members. So those members, there must be an awful lot of members for all the harm they do. So there's an awful lot of members that agree with them. So just I'll let one of you guys talk now. That's just me. I just, you know, it irritates me. I'm very sad for the families. I'm very sad for the people that got killed. Okay, it's a horrible thing. More of this is going to happen, and it doesn't matter what the weapon is, it's still going to happen. You know, people can do this kind of damage with a car and a large crowd that can run over them. Oh, you're using the car versus the weapon thing. Oh, Julius, that's ridiculous. It's like, well, I don't know. Is it? There's rules against texting and driving, but yet people do, and people die all the time because of it. Why aren't we eliminating cars? You know, people drink and drive. It's illegal, but they do it, and people die. There's a lot of things people do, and they die. Sorry, that's life. And banning guns is not going to be the answer. Here's the question. You know, my Beretta was actually designed and manufactured, started manufacturing in 1911. It hasn't changed much since then. So... And most of these automatic weapons have been around for many years. Why is it only now that we're having a problem with it? Why is it now that these weapons are so terrible that it's a problem? You didn't even have to register back in the 20s or 30s or anything for guns. You could just go to the store and pick them up. Why didn't we have the same problems back then as we do now? Mm. So is the problem... really the gun, or is it the people? Is it like, oh, I don't know, the 24/7 news channels out there that only make money as long as they keep the argument going and two sides going after each other 24/7 that cause anger and causes people to go do stuff they may not do? Think about that. You know, when was the last time? I remember when I was a kid, politicians used to, yes, during the campaign season, blah, 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 blah. And then the campaign season was over and they'd get to work. And yes, there'd still be a little, but they would get together and compromise. That doesn't happen anymore. I personally, my opinion says it's because of the frickin' press out there, and in particular, the 24/7 news groups that make money on... not only reporting the news, and inaccurately, by the way, and then having opinion shows that pit people against people, and they keep it constantly going, this constant fight that now the two-party system doesn't work. It's broken because, well, they can't do that because, you know, Fox News may say this about them, and we can't do that because CNN may say this about us, and, you know, so... think about it. Stop watching those things. They'll go away. We don't need them. We don't need the... it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. It's just... okay, sorry. Somebody else can talk now. I'm getting hoarse.
No, okay, I'm going to jump in for just a little bit. Just so nobody accuses me of being silent. As the rest of the group here knows, I am probably the one late-night QRM host that does not own a gun. I'm not against them. I'm against them in my own house. Did I used to own guns? Yes. Have I reloaded my own ammunition? Yes. Have I gone through extensive training on the safety of guns? Yes. Has my youngest son expressed interest in learning how to hunt safely? Yes. He's gone through the programs. I've told him... you know, if he's ever really ready to hunt, I'll buy him the gun. He hasn't done it, but he's shown me that he knows how to do it, you know, responsibly. Backing up a bit, on the day of the incident, horrible, horrible terrorist activity, whether it's local terrorist, you know, internal, homegrown, whatever you want to call it, the loss of life, especially to me as a medic, it's just, I can't describe it. It just, the effect on my... self, the effect on this town, when the news spread through the town of what happened, we all agreed we were going to go up and gather at the top of Brockway Mountain. Please no sound effects today. And we all went up and held up our U.S. and Canadian and rainbow flags and whatever else they wanted to bring up. And we just went up, stood in the middle of the black flies and got eaten alive. But we were all there for a purpose. And one of the things about Copper Harbor, despite the fact that the, you know, the streets are paved with fudge, So we are the end of the road. I've talked to you guys about this at the, you know, before the show. This is the place where people come who are not accepted for their life choices in the communities that they were in. Not everybody, but this is the end of the road. People come up here to get away from the persecution that they have felt in other places in the country. And they're accepted up here. And we accept anything as long as they accept us. You know, it's an artist community. It's just a group of people trying to live together. And I am the minority up here. There are very few people up here that don't own a gun. There are these things called wolves. Bears really aren't a problem. Coyotes, a little more aggressive. We do have mountain lions. It would take me about a 60-second run to get to a neighbor that actually has a gun, but my wife and I agreed once, you know, our first son was born, the house was cleared. And we have kept to that that theme for our own family. That being said, this area up here, as training as a medic, I've dealt with shootings, I've dealt with knifings, I've dealt with all kinds of ugly situations. It rarely happens up here. Everybody up here is armed, but there is a sense of training. There's a sense of responsibility. If Fred, not his real name, decides they have too much to drink some night and starts making threatening moves, for the most part, the first responders go walking in. You know, of course, state police go, "No, you can't do that." They're like, "Oh, fuck it. It's Fred." You walk in the door and you go, "What the hell are you doing, Fred? Let's stop this right now." And for the most part, it stops. You know, once every 10 years ago, you know, every 10 years, something ugly does happen. But it's pretty rare up here. So there can be responsible use. Again, I don't own one. To take it to the extreme, my dad was in Air Force intelligence. He refused to carry a gun. Barry and Barty have a idea of the significance of that. That was a big deal, especially during the Korean War. Eventually, he was assigned somebody to walk with him who did carry, but my dad would not carry a gun. That's the philosophy that my family comes from. Okay, so I've wandered all over the place. Somebody else want to take over?
Anybody?
I thought you guys pretty well covered it.
One other thing. You talk about rural people. You know, I live in rural America. The nearest police is 30 some odd minutes away. It's literally Andy of Mayberry territory. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing. It really is a good thing. Not quite Barney Fife with a single bullet in his gun, but pretty damn close.
Right.
Actually, the bullet's in his pocket, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, we're pretty much the same way. It's going to take a cop about 40 minutes to get to my house from anywhere. And the last time we needed a cop to get here, he got stuck in the snow. He was following GPS, and he was trying to go down a seasonal road. Go figure.
Yeah, but, you know, we live on an island. There's one bridge on and off, and it's an hour drive from here.
Yeah, you're a lot more rural than we are.
Somebody has to be really stupid to do something stupid up here, because everybody's going to say, "No, you don't. This ain't happening." And it doesn't happen. We have very rare incidents like that up here because people won't stand for it.
Yeah.
Okay, I've gone down the rabbit hole. Sorry. I'm working on that third glass of wine now. But no, just you know, so people aren't shocked. Not all Americans own guns. I'm not disapproving of it, mm-hmm. but... You know, for me, I think for my personal, considering how much grief I've taken over this lately, as a medic, I think it really be hypocritical for me to own a gun. Mm-hmm. Even if we've talked about tactical operations, still, I don't think I'm the one that needs to be armed. I've got other things I got to worry about. Mm-hmm. But I have partners that will protect me and protect the people I'm treating. So... And that's where I'm coming from.
And mm-hmm. you know what? This is a free country. If you don't want to have a gun, don't.
Absolutely.
But this thing where, oh, well, we don't have guns and we don't like them and we think you shouldn't have them either. I'm sorry. I'm not forcing you to own a gun. I'm not telling you not to own a gun. Do offer the same respect to me. You know? Maybe there's a better way we can figure out how to keep guns out of people's hands. Not particularly thrilled about the, oh, well, if you're on the no-fly list, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. I could tell you some things about the no-fly list, which I probably can't, but pretty much anybody could be put on that if they just feel like putting them on there. There's nothing official. There's no stringent lookup, background checks. It's one of those things that's not working in government, okay? So maybe that's not the way to go. So, but I don't know. You know, it's Joel, you got anything to say? I maybe we've said it all. I know
you guys have really touched on a lot of it, from a multitude of perspectives, of which, honestly, as far as the shootings themselves, the shooting itself in the nightclub, having family members, family member who's a member of the LGBTA community, it struck extra close when you heard about it, when I heard about it. First thing I did, and I actually, and they have extended friends and family and loved ones in Florida. So the first thing I did is made a phone call and said, you didn't have anybody, any friends actually in the night, going to the nightclubs down in Orlando, did you? And they're like, no. I said, well, that's a relief from a personal perspective, but it strikes close. And looking at it really as much as you can, given what the media, the news media spins, and they do just that. They spin doctor it for ratings. They call it an AR-15, and it actually isn't. Why? Because people don't know what the hell a 6-hour is. But the general population know what an AR-15 is. The politicians all want to jump on the anti-gun law, the ban this and ban that firearm law. And what I can say is, first and foremost, my heart goes out to any and all the victims and the wounded, first and foremost, who were there in the nightclub, because all intents and purposes, you're just folks out to have a nice time, meet other nice people, have a couple of drinks, and dance a little bit. And they should have every right to be able to do that. And they don't expect something horrible like that to happen. Now, that said, also being one who has had 4 personal friends murdered, who himself has been mugged at the wonderful tender age of 11 by 5 assailants, who himself has been shot at on more than one occasion, I can honestly say, and then also one who has family members that are and have been intimately working for, involved, and enlisted in the military and law enforcement for as long as I can think back, I speak from firsthand knowledge to say there is no better way to make sure you're not a victim than to be prepared. Counting on law enforcement, and all my family all the way back are part of law enforcement or military intelligence. And I can honestly say these folks are stretched thin, very thin. And to think that you're going to pick up a telephone and magically call when the big bad, and that's what it's referred to, by the way, in law enforcement, when the big bad or the big ugly comes through the door, and it will at some point in time, and think, well, I'll make a phone call and they'll make everything right and I'll be fine, is living with your head in the sand. You've got to always have situational awareness. You've got to look at, where am I at? What can happen? Where are the exits? I'm not faulting any of those poor victims that were inside that nightclub in any way, shape, or form. And quite frankly, no one ever knows if they have one of the two fundamental basics, which is called fight or flight, at a primal level until you're faced with it. You don't know. No one knows. Absolutely. You have a good idea, but you don't know until the blood is flying across the room whether or not your first instinct is to run or to fight. And it's a very, very, very definitive and special point in your life when you realize and come to an idea, and I'm not telling you what these people were thinking. I wouldn't dare to think to tell you what these poor folks were thinking. But what I am saying is if and I hope to hell you never, as a listener, all four of them, come to this point when you realize, I'm probably going to die now. But God damn it, I'm going to take this motherfucker out and as many of them out as I can to save as many of these other people's lives before I go down. When and if you are ever as unfortunate in your life to meet that point when you have to make that decision from your soul, you will understand unequivocally what it is like to be prepared, to stand, to be that wall, to be the difference between someone who doesn't and possess that ability to be able to say, I'm okay with dying now, but I'm going to fight the aggression that's trying to take these innocent lives. And you ready yourself. And you accept it. That is why I am such an avid Second Amendment supporter. That is why you find yourself saying, I don't have to be a victim. And my loved ones and those I love don't have to be victims. When some asshole decides that they're going to make a pressure cooker bomb and kill a bunch of innocent people there to have a good time at a race and support good charities, or walk into a nightclub because they have psychological issues with their own sexuality and decide because of their religious teachings that, well, the best thing to do is just to kill as many of them as possible, I'll be rewarded for whatever their belief system is, but that's how it plays out. Call it like it is. Somewhere, somebody, somehow, may have the same thinking as I have, and I know many, many people have, that no matter what, if I go down, that's okay, but I'm going to prevent you with every breath I have from hurting those who aren't ready, who believe that in this world, everything's just going to be okay and we can just call the police and it'll be fine. That the big, bad, ugly doesn't exist and could never come touch me, because it will. And when it shows up and it rears its ugly head, and you stare right into its eyes, you'll know what pure evil is. You'll know what pure fear is. And God help you if you ever find yourself in that situation, because you're going to make a choice. And like Barry had mentioned, you don't know until you find yourself in that situation. And you don't know if you're going to find yourself saying, I'm probably going to die now, but I'm going to save as many of these lives of these people who can't, who aren't programmed, who aren't in their soul able to accept that. And if I go down, I'm taking this asshole with me. And I'm going to try and save as many of these people as I can. And if you've got a firearm on your side, well, quite frankly, you've just leveled the playing field. This asshole walked in the door with a purpose, a reason, and a focus. And I have on my person a force multiplier. I just increase the chances of more people walking out this door. And if I don't have a firearm, then I'm going to pick up a bar stool. If I don't have a bar stool, I'm going to take a beer bottle. If I don't have a beer bottle, I'm going to grab a can of fucking alcohol and a lighter, and I'm going to light the motherfucker on fire. I'm going to do anything and everything I can to draw his attention away from hurting innocent people and bring it to me. That buys them the precious seconds they need to survive. That is why I support firearms. That is why I support firearm training. Because you need to level the playing field. Period.
Well said.
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty well put.
Well said. And oh, by the way, the Second Amendment argument about a well-regulated militia, I will say this about that. Wouldn't it be nice if every small town or every town could have a militia? And I'm not talking about the Army Reserve, and even though those do exist, unfortunately, when we go off and fight and try to protect other countries or get involved with other countries, somehow these people are now being pulled out and taken overseas to, help assist or be part of the active duty military. So
yeah, they're more of a supplement now than
yes,
than
they're a supplement. They're no longer if they're over in Afghanistan or Iraq, they're not here in New Hampshire to protect us. Okay, so why aren't there civilian
militias?
Sorry, thank you. The booze is getting to me. Why isn't there? Well, one reason we don't have that. Why? One reason we don't have volunteer militias in towns is where we could get the training, where people could volunteer for this kind of thing, is because, well, militia is a bad word now. That's a horrible thing. Every time you hear the word militia, oh, it's some nutty right-wing group doing something. So I don't know. Don't know what the answer is. I know why I have guns. It's to protect my family. Protect me. Protect my family. Protect my neighbors. Protect my town. That's the order of things that I go by, and I do the best job that I can do. It may not be perfect. It may be, in some people's opinion, a waste of time, but I'm going to die trying. And that's what it comes down to. How much do you care? It's one thing to say words. It's another thing to act on it. So with that, I think we've covered the Orlando terrorist attack. And oh, by the way, in case people were offended by any of that and maybe thinking that we were pointing out, oh, it was filled with a bunch of gay people and I'm offended that you're saying gay people can't fight. No, that's not what I'm saying. Gay people can fight. Gay,
absolutely.
I know a lot of gay people and they're just like us, okay?
Everybody else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You
don't expect it when you go to a nightclub.
Right. This goes further.
To the door.
But this goes further because other shootings. I forgive the shooting in Connecticut because they were a bunch of six-year-olds, okay? But everywhere else, they're just people, and people need to start thinking about taking responsibility and not waiting for the government to come in and help you.
Right.
They will get there as soon as they can. They will help. But you can do stuff before they get there.
The idea of the government stepping in and saying, well, we're taking away your Second Amendment right to have guns. Folks, I hate to be the one to bear bad news, but I'm telling you right now, the bad guys will always, always, always get their hands on a firearm. Now, what you've done is you've just taken them out of the hands of law-abiding citizens.
Yeah. And one other thing before we leave this. Every mass shooting that's been out there in this current time has happened at a guns-free zone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the wolves know where the sheep are.
The FBI interviewed this asshole three fucking times. Three times, and wouldn't act on it because of his religious belief. Because they didn't want to be pointed out as, well, they're bigoted because of his religious belief and connotations and sheep teachings and so on and so forth. Three times they had the opportunity to shut this guy down.
Whether his religion had anything to do with it or not, the fact that they felt hampered by that.
Exactly. By
is a problem.
The current politicians and current people in power.
Right. So
they were told, nope, don't touch this one. Why? Well, we don't want any big negative press.
Right.
So quite frankly, the root of the cause is those who hold office now stating, well, you're not going to act against them because of, in this instance, his religious belief. Really? This guy's proven himself and been arrested a bunch of fucking times, making threats against the government and against people. I think you have just cause to actually take action, which would have prevented him all along from making any kind of purchases and performing the heinous thing that he's actually done. But they didn't do it because they're told, stand down. Call it like it is.
Yep.
I don't care if it's fucking popular or not.
Right. Now, the next news item is also a bad news, I don't know, sad news item.
I'm right back. I got to get a cigarette.
Okay. A vape. Vapor. Vape. Vape. Don't.
I smoked it all.
Well, I just want to say the other big story that happened this week, that a very tragic, unfortunate thing. A family was out watching a movie on Disney property. I guess it's in, I don't know whether it was one of his resorts, but they were showing an outdoor movie. And then people, they were all sitting on the lawn, and it happened to be next to, you know, a lake, even if it's a man-made lake. And they had a two-year-old, I think it was, the age, and he was wandering around a little bit, and he was, like, on the beach. I don't know whether he made it. There's talk that he was in the water. He wasn't. But either way, an alligator came out and attacked him. His father tried desperately to get him away from the alligator. We know how that ended. Needless to say, the child died from an alligator attack. Very horrible. Very terrible. I can't imagine. I don't have kids, but I can't imagine just knowing, you know, my nieces and nephews and stuff, seeing something like that happen and just how horrible it is, you know. And that whole thing is a tragedy. But then again, after that, and this is what kind of irritates me, and this isn't nearly as much as, believe me, the last time, the do-gooders come out and say, well, this shouldn't have ever happened. We got to do something about that. And they said, even though there were signs, they said, we got to have better signs to warn people that, you know, there could be alligators. And it's like, I just want to tell you people, and I'm not talking about the family and who went through this and everything. I have relatives that live in Florida. I've been down there. If you want a sign about alligators, warning people about alligators, when you cross into the state, there's a welcome to Florida sign. That's it. There are alligators everywhere in Florida. If you see water, there's a damn good chance there's going to be an alligator in it. Hell, I visited my cousins down there. We rented one of those pontoon boats. We went out on the lake and up these canals and everything, and I must have seen a dozen alligators. And they move around. So I don't know what you want to do. Be aware of your situation. If you have small children, watch them. Remember, it's Florida. It's a natural breed in the state. If you want to kill them all, okay, we can maybe go about trying to round them all up and get rid of them.
Just like the pythons, right?
Yeah, yeah. And pythons aren't even natural in the area. But I'm just saying, people, welcome to Florida. There's alligators. It's where Gatorade was created. So, just if you visit Florida, realize that if there's water, there's probably alligators. Now, I would say you're okay if you're in the ocean. I don't think they like salt water, although I've heard that occasionally you might find one or two. But yeah, any kind of ponds, rivers, anything, there are alligators. So there's your sign. It's Florida. So, I guess that that ends our cheery news segment.
So, how's that for upbeat?
So let's get into Geek Corner, shall
sure.
we? And welcome to Geek Corner, where we discuss technical stuff. That's about it, just technical stuff. And Barty's first.
Well, this will certainly be a big change from the broken news segment, because I ran into a humorous situation with my Samsung 4K curved screen, not quite so smart TV.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, the TV works great, and we've been enjoying it, but my sweet bride has been watching me watch Defiance on my TV, and she said, you know, I'd like to check into that show. Would you mind rewatching some of the episodes so I could get into it? And we just so happened to have the Amazon Prime Video app as a native app on this TV, along with a lot of other things, like Netflix and things like that. So I said, yeah, okay, it'd be a fun thing to do, to play around with some of the other stuff that the TV offers. So we went ahead and did that. I got it all turned on and things, and we enjoyed some episodes. And after watching a few, we wanted to go back to regular television. And this feature called Sync Plus came up on the screen. I said, no, I don't want that, and I canceled it. And it came up again. And I says, no, I don't want that. So I went into the settings where it was, and I said, cancel and disable Sync Plus. And it went away. It was gone for a while until we turned the TV off and back on again. Guess what was on the screen? It's fucking Sync Plus. You know, and so I went to the menus and checked, and it was still disabled. And I says, well, what the fuck? So I ran across some of the troubleshooting things, and they said, well, if you can't fix things, there was a chat option. I says, well, no fake. So I went ahead and did that, and I chatted with a guy that I'm not sure where he was from, but it didn't sound like downtown Cleveland. and he was telling me to go and push the menu button on my remote. I looked at the stupid remote. There ain't no damn menu button. And he goes, well, yes, get the remote that came with your TV. I says, this is the remote that came with my TV. And I read off the name of the remote. He goes, where did you get that remote? I says, it came with the frickin' TV. So after some searching around, I guess he did some research and realized, oh, yeah, we do have this other remote. You got to press this other button first to get to the menu. I says, well, thanks a lot. So we go through the menu, and he see one goes through and tells me how to disable Sync Plus. I says, well, I already did all that. It's disabled. He goes, well, then it shouldn't be coming up anymore. I says, I'm telling you, every time we turn the TV on, we got this fucking Sync Plus bullshit on our screen, and we're tired of it. So he goes through, and I guess he can email me a code that I can type into the TV and allows him to access our TV over the internet, because, of course, it's, you know, connected to the internet being a smart TV. Mm-hmm. And he's going through, and, you know, we're chatting and stuff, and he goes, but Sync Plus is disabled. It shouldn't be popping up. I says, well, that's why I'm contacting you. He goes, oh, okay. And, you know, he goes through a few other things, and he did solve the problem. But it was just, like, so freaking ridiculous, because he kept saying, well, you have to cancel it. Well, it is canceled. He looked through it, and he goes, oh, you got this canceled. It's not coming up. Yes, it is. You know, and it was just so ridiculous to have to go through all of this stuff with this freaking TV.
But did you tell him, I actually do customer support? I understand the issues.
I'm kind of tech savvy.
Yeah, I did go through that with him. But he didn't seem very impressed. He was like, well, you know, it wasn't a TV that I would deal with. You know, it's computers, and, you know, that's totally different than a freaking TV. You know, and I was like, well, not exactly. But anyhow.
Computer.
Exactly. So we did eventually get to a place where he was able to get it turned off. There was, like, some setting that you could only get to if you're actually from the factory. And he got that turned off, and we haven't had any trouble with it since. So just be careful when you get a smart TV. It can be pretty damn dumb.
Excellent, Barty. I wished, you know, here's the thing. They have all these things on your smart TV. They have all these little apps you can use and stuff like that, but they're the same apps that come with Roku or Apple TV or many of the other things. Is anybody, I mean, you're the first person I know, Barty, that actually was using an app off the TV. Were you using the app off the TV, or were you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a Roku and an Apple TV hooked to my TV. Yeah. I didn't have any of that stuff on my wife's TV.
Yeah.
You know, but I figured it wouldn't be a problem. But the thing is once you use one of those apps, it automatically turns on this Sync Plus thing. Because it wants you to synchronize your TV with some of their Samsung offerings and buy crap from them and whatever.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to have that crap. You know, when my wife and I were done watching Defiance, she just wanted her TV back, you know? And she goes, well, I'm going to go walk the dog. You better have this fixed by the time I get back. And I'm like, hey, what am I supposed to do?
You know, talk
about pressure.
and you, my favorite HDMI TV would be, or, you know, modern day TV would be just a monitor, because I don't use the tuners in the TV. I still have Dish Network with Roku and an Apple TV on there. They all plug into my sound system and it's all HDMI, one cord up to the TV for that, and all the HDMIs get plugged into the sound, so the sound comes out the sound system. I don't even use the speakers on the television.
We're the same way.
I would love to be able to just order a giant monitor and add it to my system. It'd probably be a hell of a lot cheaper than paying for all this extra crap that I never use.
You know? just be careful. If you ever do try to play with any of the built-in apps,
yeah,
you could get screwed.
Oh, I believe me, I know what you're talking about, Barty, because when we got our TV, it came with a Blu-ray DVD, and that Sync Now thing used to pop up all the time. And the other thing, too, is, you know, you hit a button, and all of a sudden the Bluetooth automatically comes on because it thinks, oh, you're going to be watching a Bluetooth DVD. So I turned that on for you and automatically switched it over. I said, no! No, I didn't. Stop no thinking way. For me. But yeah, and so that Sync app's been or Sync Now thing's been around for a while, but
I call it Sucks Now.
Yes, Sucks. That's great. I love that.
It won't go away.
Oh man, I totally understand. So Michael, you're next.
Yeah, and just adding to that, and unfortunately, I don't remember, because our current TV set is a hand-me-down from one of the relatives, but the apps on it actually work non-intrusively. My wife uses it for Netflix and everything else, and it just works. I'm thinking it's a Vizio, but I'm not sure. You know, we don't turn down free.
Mm-hmm.
Before we moved up here, we had a pretty sophisticated sound system, and, you know, darn near needed a NASA manual to switch from DVD to VCR to TV. But as I've mentioned numerous times, as I call it the TARDIS, and my wife disagrees heartily that it is not larger on the inside than it is on the outside, we live in a cabin. So our watching needs are not that sophisticated. Much more than 22 to 26 inches is overkill for our house. But the smart TV that she's using is working just fine, and it's updating all the time. And, you know, we actually have good internet thanks to my connections as a system administrator up here. and our old Samsung smart TV is actually also doing okay, although it's mixed in with the Apple TV that I've got, the second generation Apple TV. My youngest son uses all the time, and that works fine. So we keep our requirements simple up here. Most of the time, I'm watching Netflix through the iPad. But that's not what I put into Geek Corner. So let me swing over to that. As I talked about before, we got the mast into the rotor. More importantly, we got the mast raised high enough on the tower so I could slip the rotor in, which is a major issue, especially when the mast is about 16 feet long. A little bit of a leverage issue there. But then Black Fly season hit. And, you know, it really is no fun to be up on top of a tower in black fly season. I've done it numerous times. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had the suit on and the belt on and done commercial work. But it's even less fun to be on the ground crew during black fly season. So as much as I want to get the rest of my ham station up and running, I've decided to hold off until probably the 4th of July. That's we're actually in a relatively normal, quote-unquote normal, summer here. So it peaks tomorrow. Father's Day is like the worst day of the year for black flies and, you know, season up here. And by 4th of July, things have burned themselves out. And then we're just back to sand flies and horse flies and deer flies and
deer flies.
Things you can handle. Yeah, but, you know, they're a known enemy.
Yeah.
You can see them coming.
Yeah.
Those damn black flies are so stealthy. Mm-hmm. So I still have a VHF, UHF horizontal weak signal antenna to put up. And the tri-band beam that we never got a chance to get up while you guys were up here. And that's actually going to be just before, just after, you know, MMPR 16, when Bob and I go on our excursion for the Ham Fest.
There you go.
Yeah, except the problem is I'm flying.
Oh. Well, UPS is a wonderful thing.
Well, yeah, because I was counting on Barty and Joel, you know, to be my ground crew for carrying stuff across the border. But that's probably not going to work out this year unless you come up, Barty. So we'll have to see. But yes, UPS, that's an option.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as getting the rest of your antennas up, you could wait until peak snow season because then you wouldn't have to climb the tower.
It's not so high. Yeah, you're right. No, I want to use the equipment before that. Actually, you know, I'm thinking tomorrow, Chris's farm sitting, David's down visiting his friends, Mark's going to be at the Mariner. It's going to be a real exciting Father's Day for me. But, you know, I could fire up 6 meters and see if anybody's around because I think this is traditionally a VHF, UHF contest weekend for ARRL. I have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I get the weekly newsletter and stuff, but I don't know. I can't. It's next week that's field day, right? Next weekend?
Yeah.
And I think it is.
The EMS service, like every year I've lived up here, has asked me to work field day.
Of course.
Of course. So I work through the night, and then I will show up in the morning at the field day site, sleep-deprived and ready to run Morse code. Oh, that's another thing that came up. I was trying to remember what brought this up, but when I picked up my son from the final day of school, the main guy in charge of operations for the high school, elementary school, middle school, and I've known this guy for years. We were kind of talking. He was walking out walking out of the school. I don't remember what brought it up, but something, some reference in social media actually brought up a Morse code symbol. And I made a comment about it, or he did. I don't remember who brought it up first. But he was a Morse code operator in the service.
Ah.
And I mentioned that I was an amateur extra from before they dropped the code requirements. He's like, "You still operate code?" And I'm like, "Yeah." All of a sudden, we've known each other for years, and we're both Morse code operators.
It was wow.
Cool. We're a dying breed, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so
okay,
I'm done. Next.
All right, next would be me. And, of course, I'm hoping you guys will fill in some of the details because I didn't pay that much attention to him, but I did read through the walkthrough. It was WWDC this past week. It's over with now, which is the Worldwide Developers Conference that Apple holds every year. And, of course, the keynote, which was Monday, they always announce new software-type thingies. And I've got a list here we can briefly go over. I don't think we'll go over everything. But the highlights is, well, first of all, OS X is gone. Say goodbye to the name OS X. It is now just Mac OS. And in which case, the Mac is little letters and then OS. So they've successfully, there's Mac OS, there's TV OS, there's Watch OS, and there's iOS, which, you know, they really are doing everything they can to get rid of the I, because it's caused them too many troubles and patent infringements and things like that. So if you've noticed, everything has gone to either Apple something They're just moving away from the I. They had to pay dearly for that anyway, because Cisco owned the rights to iPhone before the iPhone came out.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they had an iPhone. So, and they, by the way, they also have iOS, which is the operating system that's used on most switches and routers for different iOS. But, yeah. So anyway, so and of course the next version is macOS Sierra is the next one. So we got to come up with the names for the replacements for Sierra.
Shatira.
There we go. So one of the big things that announced is Siri is finally coming to the desktop. So we'll have that going for us.
But yeah, they're so you like can be Siri misunderstood platform wide.
I know. Like, what else has Siri not fucked up yet?
Supposedly, it's going to get better. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. Apple Pay is coming to the web, so it's kind of going to be like PayPal. You know, if you're buying stuff online and it's like, oh crap, I got to pull a freaking credit card out of my wallet to try to pay for this thing, or I can use PayPal, you know, which is much easier sometimes for me, especially when I'm, you know, sitting in my jammies down in the easy chair watching TV and perusing, you know, websites to purchase something. So Apple Pay will be available in a lot of places now, so you'll be able to use that. A lot of talk about the new version of a watch OS and the watches. There's all sorts of new fancy things going on with that. And although I didn't pay that much attention to it because I don't own one of the watches, and excuse me, Barney might be more interested in finding out about that.
Yeah, I didn't pay a lot of attention to that either. I'd rather wait till it gets closer to being released, rather than wait around for things to come. Yeah, you know?
It says here Apple Watch gets faster and adds new features, so and pretty much a whole new even interface to it. So yeah, if you're interested in that, I'm trying to keep it short because we're running long now. iOS gets a slew of updates. Not sure what they're doing. 3D touch. There's a thing where I think you can raise and wake your phone so you can see stuff on your lock screen instead of having to press a button to do that. I'm sure that's you can turn that on or off. I can imagine the way I swing around a phone, my display would constantly be on, so I probably won't be interested in that.
Yeah, you know, because pressing a button is so fucking hard.
I know.
Oh, yeah, it's friggin'
and
brutal.
It's pretty much touch any button, and except for the volume control, and it'll come on. Apple News gets a redesign and supports subscriptions. Don't care. Apple Music gets a Discover playlist and complete redesign. Yeah, okay, that means they're going to fuck it up even more than it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've never seen them... Well, I guess they're calling it Apple Music. Maybe iTunes is going away. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maps is redesigned with navigation in mind. Okay, I don't use it. I use Google because they're superior in their maps. Messaging. iMessage. Man, it's getting snazzier. And they're going to allow you to do all sorts of neat things, including put confetti and moving things in the background when you send messages. And you can put strobe lights and balloons and all sorts of things. And there's a thing called invisible ink, which I have no idea what it is. but they're turning iMessage into some kind of a Snapchat, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger conglomerate. So we've got
that. I just want it to work.
So
that's what I was going to say.
Broken between Wi-Fi and selfers.
So we've got that going for us.
Michael, I just want the thing to send a fucking message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Photos takes on Google Photos, which means they're promising lots of things to the Apple Cloud, which frankly doesn't really work very well, and you got to pay a fortune for it. Not really, but I don't pay for it. I don't use it. Voicemail transcription comes to iOS 10. So not only can... And let me tell you, we have that at work. Boy, oh, yeah, does that work wonderful. Doesn't it? Barty, you know how it works. Yeah, you get it. Your phone... If somebody leaves a voice message on your phone, it comes in our email. And I always... You know, they've got a little player there, so you can play the message on your... On your computer, much easier than picking up the phone and doing it. That's nice. But underneath it is always the transcription, and I'm telling you, my wife and I have had some of the biggest laughs because I'll call her back up and I say, "Here's what the computer said you said," and it's just like They don't even get close with it. So I can't imagine how.
I've sent those transcriptions back to the people that left the message and said, "Is this what you really meant to say?"
Yes, I do that too. Oh, God, it is funny. No one does that well. We'll see how iOS does it. TVOS is all grown up. The biggest thing I heard about talking about that, there's some new stuff coming to it. I think, what's coming to it?
Slingbox.
Slingbox, that's it. Thank you, Barney. Is coming to it. That was big news. And they have a dark mode now. Because if you've ever had any Apple TV, it's always been a white screen with the icons across it. Which, you know, if you're done watching a movie or in a darkened room and everything, and then it finishes and you go back to the menu, it's like, ah!
Yeah,
yeah. So now they have a dark mode, which is, everybody was cheering about that. So, and Siri is opening up to app developers. So that's a big thing for app developers. You can now incorporate the Siri API into not all the applications, but just some. That was a little, I saw something about that. It's not everything, but certain types of apps you can use Siri now. Predictive type takeover. Oh God, I hope they fix whatever better than what they've got now. You know, I didn't mind when they would do word suggestion when the phone first came out, but now that they've gone to this predictive type stuff, it gets it wrong so many times. And even though it gives you three options up at the top, it's like, look, I typed the entire word out. That's the word I want to use. Don't make me press it up above to actually use that word. And instead, give me another word. I know what I typed, and that's the word I want to use. That just drives me nuts. You guys experienced that a little bit when I was texting you guys earlier. It's like, holy crap, what did you guys do? What did this thing do? And you don't notice until after you hit send. And it's like, I can't believe I sent that. You know, it's incredible. So I'm not a big fan of predictive type. Okay, Siri on Mac. Okay, that's pretty much about it. Unless any of you guys remember anything else. It was a big yawn fest as far as I was concerned. And to be truthful, you know, I don't think this is just Apple kind of sliding downhill. It is a little bit of that. They're missing Steve Jobs. But all the other phone manufacturers are coming across the same thing. The technology hasn't... We're slowed down in the technology. It hasn't bumped up. We haven't had anything fantastic come out. So therefore, these are all, you know, incremental changes and hopefully bug fixes, most of all. So nothing to get excited over. Again, the iPhone 7 coming out this year. I want to see what it's going to have. I'm really debating. I may just wait until the iPhone 8 because that's going to be the 10-year. They probably won't have a 7S. They're probably going to have an iPhone 8. And or they may rename it to the Apple phone or something, you know, and start over. But we'll see. We'll see what the rumors are. And I'm going to decide whether I want to get a new phone this year or wait until next year because I'm happy with the phone I got right now. So, Yeah, anybody else
get? By the way, my oldest son has decided he wants a 6SE.
Really?
6SE?
Yeah, he's replacing his 4S, and he said, you know, the 5 size is a big jump for me already, and I really don't need to go to the full 6 size, so he's going for a 6SE.
That's smart. That's smart.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of backpacks and things have got pockets. Sorry about that. That have pockets that are already sized for it. You know, so if you get a bigger phone, all of a sudden you run out of places that you can put it. You know, where all
it's
your
still
existing
a big jump
bags
for him too.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Barty. It's the Skype leg here, but he's going from a 4S to a 6SE. There's still a whole bunch of features, and he's like, "Yeah, I really don't care about the 3D. It's about the only thing he's missing." And he's young enough that his eyes can see it just fine.
Yeah. He's 19, you know? That's it. If you're young, it's great. Okay. The last thing in Geek Corner, I don't know whether it was last week or the week before. I was talking about looking for a replacement for Time Machine because it's been failing miserably ever since El Crappy Tan came out on mine. And I back up to a NAS on the network, and I don't know what went wrong with it, and nobody else seems, but people are having problems with it. So I started looking at third party stuff. I mentioned one. Another one I was looking at was ChronoSync, and I don't know whether I talked about that or not, but that's the one I decided to go with. And I gotta say, after setting it up and fixing everything, it's working flawlessly. I'm getting daily backups. I'm not doing the hourly thing or anything anymore. I do a daily backup at 1 a.m. in the morning. If the Mac is in sleep mode, it wakes it up to do the backup. It automatically mounts the drive. It backs up. It unmounts the drive. And it's working great. It has other features. I can sync. You can back up and you can sync. So you can sync with your iPhone or whatever. If you have an external hard drive, which I do, and when we record these shows, of course, I use the hard drive on the book itself, MacBook Pro itself. But then after I get done processing and editing and put it out, then I put it on an external drive for storage. Well, now, and that would be a thing I'd have to do, plug in the external thing, have it pop up, and then, you know, copy everything over. Well, now I've got it set up through ChronoSync to whenever I plug that external drive in, it automatically backs up or syncs my financial information and QRM Studios folder, which is where I do all the work, automatically moves it over to there anytime I plug that thing in and make sure that they're in sync. So I'm happy with that too. That's a nice feature it has. Has a very good GUI design. $49, gotta tell you, there's a price to it. But I've been happy with it so far, and it's worked flawlessly for me. So if you're looking for a Time Machine alternative, if you're having issues with it like I was, you can check this one out. It comes highly rated. So, and that's it for Geek Corner, I think. Anybody got anything else?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to Bottom Gear.
Welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and tonight we have a few stories to tell. First up happens to be, let me get my cursor on the right spot, Michael.
Yeah, I forgot to put my name on that, but I think it's pretty obvious by the subject title. Just a comment on going back.
Oops. Oh,
very appropriate. That's good. That's
premature. Sorry.
No, that's okay. just a comment going back to something that Bob, no, the other Bob said about his Jeep, which is now a Subaru. He's made the transition in the last couple of weeks, about gas mileage. And I've heard that about the newer Jeeps, and even my somewhat newer Jeep, but it's more has to do with the condition than the Jeep itself, because it, at one time, my Jeep. Okay, go ahead, Barry.
Sorry, I don't have one for yours.
that was the original one, actually.
Yeah, actually it was.
My Jeep at one time, after thankfully some help from a reprogramming from a local garage, got up to almost 23, 24 miles to the gallon, which is not bad for the 4-liter, a.k.a. the old AMC 232 engine. But David's Jeep actually has the smaller. There actually were two different 4-cylinders they came out with. And this is the 2.5, I think, or maybe it's the 2.4. But whatever it is, this 4-cylinder engine in this thing with the 5-speed, it gets pretty consistently close to 30 miles to the gallon, which is not bad for a 97 Jeep Wrangler.
Good guy now.
So I pulled into the gas station tonight after making runs to town and all kinds of stuff, and I put in a whopping 3 gallons of gas. The guy goes, "Haven't come very far, have you?" And I said, "Well, actually, no. I filled up, went to Copper Harbor, drove around for a week, and came back and dropped my son off at his friend's house." And he goes, "With a Wrangler?" I said, "Yeah, this is a pretty rare combination." I said, "It's really affordable to drive." I said, "You're not going to... It barely can get out of its own way. I mean, you have to, at times you got to, some of the hills up here, you got to downshift down to third gear to stay at highway speed, but it gets you there. You know, I'm not in a race."
Uh-huh.
So it's really cool to be able to drive around for a week and spend $9 in gas. Not quite Prius.
Almost.
Prius?
Oh, Prius? Prius, Prius. Oh, crap.
Oh,
oh, where the fuck is it?
Sorry, Barty.
I do hate that.
Love that. It's one of my favorite things.
I had to do that because Barry wasn't on the list tonight. But, yeah,
by the way, 217,000 miles now. Sorry. I'm sorry. While you're at it, almost up to 218,000 miles. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
it's consistently still getting close to 30 miles to the gallon, and David is driving it back and forth, even going up and down the road to Saskatchewan. He drives it because he works up here in the office now, so he drives it from the house up here and drives it back when he has to, make the trip to the room of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woods.
And then he drives back and forth to his friend's house. So he's getting the time in. Pretty soon he's going to actually be fully up to speed, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to David's Jeep and drive mine, which is really falling apart because it's the one vehicle that's not getting maintenance. I work in Chris's vehicle. I work in David's Jeep. Or David's Jeep. My Jeep, despite the lack of maintenance, it's still really creeping up on 300,000 really quick.
Uh-huh.
Whether it'll make it or not, I don't know, but,
it will. It will.
Yeah, that, that's it from the Uper territory here.
Thank you, Michael. I have a few little things that just cropped up. Let's see here. Now, I've been driving Rambo.
What are you? The worst nightmare.
For quite a while now, back and forth to work. And when gas was super duper cheap, when we're still down at the $1.70 a gallon moment, and I do say when, it was a dream. I really didn't think about the gas at all. Well, gas has kind of creeped back up to the 260 marker, and Rambo doesn't get 30 miles to the gallon. So I had said to my beautiful bride, "Hey, I want to grab Goldfinger." And, and take him to work. She's like, "Sure, fine. I don't need to use him for anything." So jumped in Goldfinger, and I'm cruising on to work, the 17-hour trek down to get to work from home. And I'm going, while I'm driving, drinking my coffee and, listening to my podcasts and talk radio. Smells like a little rich, like raw gas. And I thought, well, I do have a little gas can I keep in the trunk, like a little 1-gallon job, mm-hmm. just for emergencies. And I thought, I wonder if that flipped over or is leaking or something, which it never, ever, ever has done before. But I thought, well, it's a possibility. So I get on the way to work, no issue. Lunchtime rolls around. Myself and a colleague decide, hey, let's roll out and go get some lunch. So we did that. And still a little strong. I mean, it's not overpowering, but a little strong. Get back, do lunch, go to finish up work, jump in the car, come all the way home. The whole time while driving home, yep, still, that smell's still there. But, you know, I'm not really seeing anything underneath the car. Park it out in front of the cabin here, and Dr. Kenny had come on over, and he went, dude, your car's leaking gas. I smelled it when I walked by. And I went, I thought I smelled some raw gas. And he said, yeah, and we kind of looked. You put your hand up underneath the passenger side, and sure enough, it was ever so slightly wet back by the passenger door. I went, oh, that's not good. So Goldfinger went to Dr. Kenny's and ended up on the lift. Well, I went to Dr. Kenny's earlier, and he's like, hey, I said, you know, Debbie's going to need a set of wheels to cruise around. And I said, what do we got laying around here at the shop? He goes, oh, hey, here, take this 2003 Jeep Grand Cherokee. All right, cool. So grab this 2003 Jeep Grand Cherokee, which kind of goes back to that earlier segment during Days of Our Lives, which is what we brought Buddy home in the back of. And sure enough, it was one of these scenarios where I'm kind of jumping out of order here, but we had the Jeep Grand Cherokee driving around, had the sunroof, you know, all the bells and whistles, all the buttons, and I thought, hey, you know what, I fit pretty decent in it. I'm not going to say super comfortable, not like Rambo, but comfortable. And she fit into it like a glove and fell in absolute love with the Jeep Grand Cherokee. So much so that she said, and I mentioned this in another show, I want a Jeep Grand Cherokee. But this is her first time where she got to drive one for over a week.
Yeah.
Before she thought, you know, and then there's no better way to say yes or no, I like a vehicle, than driving it around for a week. Absolutely fell in love with it. So, guess what the next vehicle purchase is going to be?
That's right. Jeep Grand Cherokee? IR Smart,
exactly. So, it's like, decision made. That is the direction we are going in to replace Daisy.
Sorry, I didn't have
it. Bugs.
Get out of VW.
Small.
That would have been better for the Black Fly segment.
So, and the reason being
is... Oh, it's either that or...
That's appropriate. Because she had no brakes.
I bet Joel was doing a lot of that.
Daisy, a couple shows ago, I had mentioned that she had a brake issue. The pedal went right to the floor. So over to the shop she goes, and up on the lift, and a new brake line had gone on, bleed the system, blah, 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 blah. Came back the very next day. My beautiful bride takes Daisy out, runs a bunch of errands, goes to the grocery store, so on and so forth. And just as she's pulling up the dirt road to our dirt driveway and goes to put her foot on the brake to slow it down, ba-dunk, pedal goes to the floor again. Now, granted, she was, you know, creeping, you know, and coming up into the driveway. So that was good. But you're like, pedal's not supposed to go to the floor. So it blew another brake line somewhere. So Daisy's been sitting, and then Goldfinger sprung his little return line, fuel line leak. So that's where the Jeep Grand Cherokee came into play. Goldfinger is now since back, and Daisy's still sitting out there in the driveway where I'm going to have to, you know, yank her to the shop and get her up on the lift. But that's everything I got for bottom gear. I mean, it was Daisy, Goldfinger, then now fixed, and no, I haven't pulled Elvira out of the garage yet. I haven't even remotely thought about doing that. Especially with the fact that Bike Week is here and there's a billion motorcycles going everywhere.
Yep.
every once in a blue moon, I'm thinking, oh, it'd be kind of nice to pull Elvira out and I'd just take the scoot for a little run. And I'm like, nah, can't. There's no place like coffee.
I think that love affair with Elvira has gone away a bit. I think you're past the honeymoon stage. And
yeah, well, I have to say, sir, I agree. It's one of those moments where, as I said to my son, we went out to go pick up podcasting supplies this evening, and a bunch of guys are out on bikes, and he was asking questions like, yeah, how's that shifter work? I'm like, one down, four up, because a gentleman had pulled up next to us and driving a very, really, really nice electric glide. And he said, oh, and I thought about it. I'm like, this would have been a nice ride over here. I said, but then again, I'm real happy to be sitting in the truck right now. Very happy, very comfortable. Mm-hmm. To be sitting in the truck right now. And I thought, we were talking about trucks, and I said, you know what truck I miss the most? The Falcon. My diesel F-350 Ford.
Oh, there you
I
go.
Miss okay. that truck so much. And I said, well, if I ever got rid of Elvira, would I feel the same way like I do about my old diesel? And I'm like, no. I wanted my diesel truck back so bad. So, in any event, that's everything I got for Bottom Gear.
All right, well, let's move right into entertainment last month. Welcome to Entertainment Last Month, where we talk about old stuff that's new to us. That's the short, straight way of saying it. And one thing I forgot to add, and I meant to add it, sorry, so I'll start off with it. I finished watching Band of Brothers, and I kind of watched that over the D-Day weekend and that week. And I got to say, that was an excellent series. Mm-hmm. I thought it was well done, and it even ended quite nice. I mean, nice and whatever, you know, it ended well. Let's put it that way. So, and now I'm interested, and I've been told that people had issues with this, but I do want to check out the Pacific. I'm not sure what it's called, but it's, you know, another Tom Hanks type thing, and it's about the Pacific side of World War II. So I'm gonna go check that out. I haven't heard.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so anyway, my only other thing was is I via the Magic Antenna, I downloaded the first episode of the a new Top Gear show.
Yeah, I saw that.
And my review of that is, yeah, no.
Absolutely. What a pile of crap that
did
is.
Did you get to see it? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I had BBC America, and by dumb luck, literally, okay. I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah.
I was, flip, new channel, flip, 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 flip. And I'm like, oh, this is the new Top Gear with Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
And I watched it. Let me rephrase that. I watched about 30 minutes of it.
Uh-huh.
And literally said to Debbie, what a pile of shite that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is absolute not even worth turning the TV on for.
I actually watched the whole thing. Just to give it a chance.
Huh?
It was boring.
Yes.
There was.
It's completely boring. You don't laugh.
You're not
drawn in. And then I watched a couple, I'd say another 30 minutes of the second episode because the second one's out. Same thing again. And I thought, wow, this is just, it's doomed to fail.
Yeah.
Can I jump in on your bandwagon real quick? Because then sure. I researched it and the Grand Tour,
yes,
is airing in autumn 2016 on Amazon with Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond.
All right, but they don't have the Stig. The Stig stayed with the old show.
Yeah, the Stig stayed with Top Gear and the Biebs.
Yeah. Oh well, I'll be looking forward to that one. This one, yes. I had to give it a try. Yeah, you got to give it a try. I did. I don't think I'm even going to venture on to the second show.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
No, no, not at all. So, Michael.
So, yeah, just actually pure coincidence. I've been spending most of the last month watching World War II documentaries, which is not my normal fare. But it happened to come up, and I thought, you know, I really would like to review all this stuff again. And so I had some pretty good refresher background coming back up to D-Day, which, again, we've talked about this also in previous episodes, but something that Mr. Schultz always used to make a note of when the June 6th came up. Made a couple of comments on the social media. Dave Brodbeck did a really good job of making notes on the dates and times as, you know, the anniversary of the preparations came up for the assault. And my family, I know, participated, my relatives participated. The reason why we were here in the first place goes back to World War One, not necessarily World War Two, but we didn't forget. And I know relatives went back in World War Two to support the efforts that were going on. So a lot of interest for me and a lot of good stuff in there. I'm not going to point out any particular program because if you just do a search on Netflix for World War II, there's a lot of good stuff there.
Mm-hmm. And World War II HD was one I had just recently watched.
Oh,
okay. On Netflix. And that was really
good. Color in HD? Was that
color
one?
Yep. Mm.
Yep. That was the last one I watched.
Wow.
There was one that was originally called Armageddon, and then it was renamed on Netflix. But both of them are really good.
I'm going to have to check those out. Because, yeah, I've always liked learning about it and watching those shows. So my dad was in World War II. Now he was over in England. He fixed radios. I think I mentioned that I have all his old books, training books and guides from World War II now. Yeah, he was over there. He did eventually get over to Europe, but it was after the war was kind of over and they're, you know, occupying Europe. And he briefly went over to France, I think, for a while, but spent most of his time over in England and with the RAF and the U.S. Army Air Corps. So, He still likes to tell me stories about that. That's one of the things when I go visit him. He's still pretty vivid memories about that time. And, you know, as I told you before, he's 93 going on. He'll be 94 in August. So he does enjoy talking about his time. Well, you know, again, he was a young kid. I think he was 20 when he went over there. And even though he was in England, they were bombing and everything else. So, yes, he wasn't one of the guys that, you know, landed on a beach and, you know, that kind of thing. But he did have to deal with the bombings and things like that. So it was a scary time. I mean, geez, you know, you really, what those guys went through, pretty impressive. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So the last thing on the entertainment last month is last night I finally watched the movie Black Mass, which if you're from this area, Boston area, you'll know it's all about Whitey Bulger and Jimmy Whitey Bulger. And I got to say that Johnny Depp, however you feel with him in his personal life, I know he, I don't care. The guy is one hell of an actor. That's all I can say. I did not even know it was him. I mean, I knew he played the part of Whitey Bulger, but it was, I mean, nothing looked like Johnny Depp in that, and nothing came out. It was all Whitey Bulger, and he is just a fantastic actor. And the movie, for a gangster movie, of course, it was based on a true story, was, you had some shootings and stuff like that, but it was really more of a dramatized historical look at Whitey Bulger and, you know, his brother was Billy Bulger, who was actually played by, whatchamacallit, Cumberbatch.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes. And he did a great job with the accent. I'm telling you. I was surprised. But, you know, if, again, I can't say I grew up in Boston. I grew up in outside of Philadelphia, but we heard about Boston. Of course, now that I've been up here for just about 20 years, yeah, you hear all the stories and everything. And that guy was one SOB. And I'm glad they finally caught him, you know. Yeah.
Another great movie that really hits on the crime syndicate, if you will, in Boston. Great movie, too. That stars Ben Affleck and several others who I wish I could remember the names right now, but I can't, is The Town.
It's called
The Town, and yeah. It's about Charlestown and, you know, how the crews used to go ahead and target bread trucks are commonly, it's a common phrase for a money transport trucks.
Yeah.
Armored cars.
And, yeah.
Another really great one if you're looking
at, to check, you know, that out.
The crime in Boston.
Yeah. You learn things about Boston. Like, they all grew up in, from Southie, which is basically the south end of Boston, South Boston. They call it Southie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I guess all the Italians were up in the north end. And it was an interesting story. Very good. Recommended if you want to find out how that all went down. So... Good thing. Okay, that's it. We do have a musical guest tonight. I'm doing a I want to say a month, but since we're doing every other week now, it's probably 2 months of Nielsen, Harry Nielsen, and so I've got another one picked out of his. It's from Midnight Cowboy. You've probably heard it. It's called Everybody's Talking at Me. So we'll. That'll be our musical guest. And once again, as we always do at the end of the show, we shout out to all our military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thanks for being out there on the front line. Thanks for doing what you do. And be careful, especially you OCONUS guys. Well, hell, you CONUS guys have to be careful now, too. So, we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Till then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from the Sticks in New Hampshire also, this is Joel.
From New York's central New York's Tug Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And from Studio V in the suburbs of Greater Copper Harbor, Metropolitan Copper Harbor. At the Sticks. It's Michael, the virtual Uber.
And that's it for 215. I think it's going to be just about 3 hours. Maybe even go over a little bit. We'll see. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time. And until then, here's Harry Nielsen.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze. And skipping over the ocean like a stone. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain.
going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
Samson, speak. Good boy.